All right, welcome to it. Episode 12 on The Bounce Show. Gotta say, this start, like the 5 minutes that lead into me saying this are absolutely frenetic every week. You think we get this right? Well, it's one of those weeks in sports where you think, I'm so happy I'm a sports fan, which I think is about the seventh time out of 12 episodes that I've said that. Now, I know we've had the Olympics, we've had the big Springbok versus the Irish test, we've had so many different attractions, but this weekend it gets as big as it can possibly get in rugby, outside of a Rugby World Cup final. We've got the Springboks taking on the All Blacks, the biggest rivalry in all of the sport, right here in our city of Johannesburg. So we're unpacking that. We're unpacking what makes it a great rivalry. And then we're going to get into all kinds of other sporting rivalries too, because this is what makes sports so incredible, is that you get games to watch and enjoy, and then every now and again, it like 10Xs itself. It's a bit of a Bitcoin term, but it like 10Xs itself, and everything gets to be far more like high stakes. It's also Paralympics this week, so we're going to talk about that. Para, of course, is parallel, as in takes place after the Olympics. Shout out to show prep there. But it's also, it's a bit of a tough time for Man United fans too. So obviously we're going to not comfort them. We're going to pile on them this week as well. But the F1 is so hugely exciting as well this week, because McLaren seemed to be really taking it to Red Bull in more ways than one. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. We're going to have so much to throw and enjoy. But we're going to start out by introducing our new show host, Sandile Soprano.
That's great. Guys, please enjoy the drip. Yo, it's just a little puma something that I got going on. What's up, James? I know this is going to be a long show for me.
I just want to say, when I throw out the betting tips and super bets on the show, I'm genuinely excited about the fact that people can mimic this. And last week, I told you I've got a surefire pick six, right? Your $100 gets you like 2,300. And because his team can't keep Brighton out in injury time, we all lost the money. I mean, there's not one of your Oaks. I mean, I don't know what Mark the back post in Dutch is, but could one of those guys have done that in extra time?
Look, like I said, I know I'm in hell this week. I apologize to everybody who's a football lover, whoever betted. Look, it was a great bet. The draw was meant to be the safe bet, but in true Man United fashion, fuck us. So
yeah, that was one of the most enjoyable games I've watched, because I played golf with a mate of mine. We both played really nicely. It was a lovely day. And then the game came on at the clubhouse. And I said, guys, it's going to be a draw. We're going to make money. And they was like, nah, man, you're not going to win this. It's like, no, they're not. And then it was 1-1, which was great. That's all I really wanted. That's what I predicted.
Then it was 2-1.
Then it was 2-1. And then it was disallowed goal, because Man United fall over themselves, like their own worst enemies. And then even then, in injury time, you messaged me saying, good call on the draw. I was like,
and of course,
not a big thing.
And of course, we dropped the points.
It was just pure theater, because my hopes were so high. Because, I mean, like, you're the football expert, yeah, here, not me.
Am I the football expert?
I don't think you
are. I have so That's many insecurities after this weekend.
That can't be true, man. Come on.
I mean, let's not talk about the fact that I called Aston Villa and then Ollie Watkins blew it for everybody. And we could have made so much money. And then Arsenal 1-0.
No, but you don't go against Arsenal this season. Oh, I mean, this is the season, guys. I've been a bit of a on-the-fence Arsenal fan for the last 4 years or so. That's because it hasn't been time yet. I'm timing my run. This is the season where I go all in. I've got all three kits, home, away, and third.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited. I'm damn excited about Arsenal this year.
So what was the final, the top six between me and you?
Well, let's not go too much into it. The important thing to take out here is that you lost. And as we said last week, not only did you then lose us money, but you now have to get in the cold plunge this Saturday.
Mama ain't raised no bitch, so I'm definitely gonna be there.
So, James, we said it was going to be 8 degrees for a minute, right?
Correct. Correct.
Because they lost in injury time, should we add another minute?
I think we should add another minute for injury
time. Come on, guys. Fellas. We have fellas.
It's only fair. It's only fair. No? Maybe an extra 2 minutes?
No. Come on. Guys, I'm only doing maximum 2 minutes. I'm not gonna die next to you guys.
I mean, look, you're the worst negotiator in the world. That you could have got minute 30. You just basically agreed with us in 2 minutes. You could have made us halfway, but now you're doing 2 minutes.
Okay, a minute 30. Because you guys like me.
Okay. I'll, you know what? It's a long season for you, and you know this weekend is also very interesting, because talking about sporting rivalries, Liverpool, James's team, takes on your team, Man United. So you're gonna get in the neck most of this year. You know, we've also got Chelsea fans in the greater mix here as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a long season for me. I can just feel it. You know, after this weekend.
Plus, you're going to take on the might of Arsenal.
Now, don't worry. I'm not. Guys, the game is 38 games. It was one game. I'll see you guys this weekend. And then, James, me and you got some stakes on the line as well. So When we make those calls at the end of the day, I'm going to make it interesting as well.
Let's just lose one bet at a time here. Okay, let's just easy. But you know what? Like, I was thinking about this. You're going to have it so hard this week and this whole season. So to soften the blow.
Okay.
I'm preempting the softening of the blow here. Our friends at Adidas, this is how we soften blows. Got a little package for you.
For me.
This is going to sound terrible on the mics, but it's worth it.
Okay, let's see.
What's so Sandile's in for a long season here. A long season. So
guys,
he's got a little gift. I mean, ultimately, we like giving things away on the show.
Shout out to the homies, man. Oh, man, and you heard me crying about this the whole day.
So there you've got the third Man United kit.
Oh, fuck. Thank you guys so much.
And in there, you've also got the away kit, which is a beautiful jersey, by the way. That's the blue one.
Guys, they literally, oh, I'm going to cry. Shout out to the homies right here, man.
I say wear them while you can, because after this weekend, you won't want
to. Oh,
that's what I say.
This is why you're wearing your back-to-school uniform today, Ben.
And the thing is, if we can get just on Sandile there, you know the show here is always so cold. That's why we have to wear jerseys.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
So they've also thrown in like the fan jersey, which you can then wear in studio, because I'm wearing the Arsenal one currently, and it's so nice and warm.
Hamez, you didn't tell me.
Nah,
I couldn't. Maybe. Look how happy I am.
Hamez had nothing to do with this.
Thank you so much, fellas. I really do appreciate it.
But yeah, shout out to Adidas. I mean, as we got going on the show here, they've been really cool with all the merch and the kit. As you can see, we've got it all black in studio this week.
Can you imagine? And they're not talking about me.
Wow.
Anyway, look, we can all win on this show. So this week, of course, it is SA versus the All Blacks and another great opportunity to win the Clip Drift. So if you go into cliptriftthatsgold.co.za, the next big game, I'm waiting for this fixture over here. It is the All Blacks versus the Springboks. And if you go into there, I'm going to spin the wheel quickly. We've been playing this all season. If you are just going to join us now, it's not too late to get involved. Basically, you spin for a player as we do each week. Someone cool is about to come up because we're doing this live. Someone cool. Let's have it. Damien de Allendy, the best number 12 in all of rugby. So every time he does something amazing this weekend, I win points. The more points I get, the more spins I get after the game. And then we'll see if we get prizes. So clipdriftthatsgold.co.za. And we're going to throw in an extra little kicker here. When you go onto the site here and you find your player like I've just shown you now, share that player onto social media. Obviously, tag us, whether it's on X or on Instagram. Share mostly X. That's just quite a cool platform for that. And then also have your score prediction. So predict what the score is going to be. Obviously, it's going to be South Africa 29, All Blacks 24. And then we'll give a case of Clip Drift Premium to the person who selects the right score.
Yes, sir.
Which is quite fair, really.
Very awesome.
Share your player, share your score prediction with us on X or Instagram. Have a go, whichever one you want. And you could be a winner with us. Simple as that.
Awesome.
All right. Let's really, really get into it now. Rusty has got one of the best press conference abilities in all of world rugby.
This week he showed it. Yeah.
And I almost feel like SA Rugby or any of the sponsors need to put some production value into these press conferences right now. Because how these press conferences normally work is Rusty sits down with a player, maybe two players, and then we've got this like mismatching journalist kind of scrum. So when these folks ask questions like, Jasper, how do you feel about playing again for the green and gold? You can barely hear the oak in his mundane question. Yeah. And then the guy talks. We should have this thing presented by someone like Matt Pearce, ultimate professional. He must sit down with these two oaks because he'll ask better questions and then we'll get the answers out of Rusty.
Yeah, no,
let's put some production value into this.
Like
now.
It's like just like a random thing. I watched it and I'm like, what is going on here? Where is the production value? It's like zero.
I just think because Rusty's so good. I mean, the oak looks like he's already had six beers. He rolls into this thing. He's got like a spreadsheet open going, right, we've got a lot of
injuries.
this oak's gonna get a look in.
Yeah, no, it was so strange. But it was a great press conference. You know, Rusty knows how to own a room, which is so awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know why they picked. Was it Dixon?
Benjason Dixon. Yeah.
Yeah. It was Ben. I felt like it was his first day at school, and he had to come and give a presentation. And he was just like, "Yeah."
Oh, you're talking about
B2B.
You're talking about Jasper Visa.
Jasper Visa. Sorry, my bad.
You know your loose forwards in this show. Huh?
Yeah.
Embarrassing moment.
It felt like it was his first day at school, and I don't know if they need to ask him questions in Afrikaans or in English. I was just like, woof.
So at the same time, nobody wanted to ask him a question. Everyone was asking Rusty questions. Yeah. Eventually, Rusty asked Jasper a question to kind of keep him in the game.
Just like keep him in,
So obviously, the big story this week was that Sacha Feinberg and Gomezulu, he's been retained at 10. And the reason is, and Rusty put it so succinctly, you do not shelter a player.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you're good enough to play, this is a great example of like playing. And it's the same with Apelele Fassi.
Yep.
Weekend Special has been given a chance because Rassi's like, if you can do it against these Oaks, then I know you can do it any other game. Yeah. Because you can give him the Portugal game, sure. Give him an Australia game, sure. But there he's giving Oaks, who are maybe not like confirmed choices, he's giving them a chance,
yeah.
Which I think is amazing. And it shows there's such a great vibe in this camp.
Yeah.
And it shows that these Oaks are being trusted and they literally are looking for that next World Cup. Because Rassi could have gone back to type. We already spoke about this. If you're going to play Sasha, give him the security of Villiers number 15.
Yeah.
If you're going to play Fassi, give him security of Pollard.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things could have been there in conventional wisdom. But Rassi looks at this team and goes, we're clapping the All Blacks, so I can pick any of these Oaks.
Yeah, and I think it's what we've been saying throughout, you know, the lead up in the URC is rugby championship is you've got to really step up to be a buck. And I think what is actually happening now is we're seeing the new generation of Springboks, especially going into the next World Cup. These are the two guys who are going to be playing 10 and 15 moving forward. He's kind of made a very, very big call now and say, guys, this is what we're doing.
Well, I mean, look, Fassi's obviously going to fall away the moment Damien Willemse can play. And that's no disrespect to Fassi, but Willemse is like a generational, incredible player.
Well, let's see. You know, I think if he jams out of his socks, let's see what happens now. You know, congratulations to them. I think it's a very big thing for them. Enterprising rugby once again. I also think Tony Brown is a big call on that. Said, yeah, guys, we
know. Might influence it.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to play slow rugby this season. We're going for the wheels. So I really like that call as well. And what I loved about Rossi's conference was him talking about Willie LaRue becoming more of a leader on the back end of the system, because he's probably not going to make the next World Cup. So
he sounded like he's semi-retired there. Yeah, so he's like, we know Vinny's old, but I mean, I've coached him since like early days.
I was like, no, you're retiring our guy right now and we need to get to 100 caps. But I foresee Villarreal going into the coaching system as well now, you know, just as the way as it was pitched.
He's the kind of guy that won't want to sell photocopiers. Obviously, he'll go into coaching, but he's got so much to give.
Yeah.
I mean, he does. He's got so much to give. In the forward pack, we know we have zero locks, basically. So, Ruan Nokia, he was going to be the number five. Peter Steph has gone into the uncharacteristic number four position. I mean, when he was a lock, he was number five lock. But that's fine because we've got Eben Etzebeth coming off the bench. So, he'll be there as well. No Archie Sneyman. He's out for like 3 or 4 weeks, which is a bit shitty.
Damn.
But, I mean, it's still good. Hey, we've still got a great front row. We've still got Jasper Visa coming back at 8. I think is hugely important.
Yep.
And then we've got Mark van Staden. No, not Mark van Staden. He's out.
He's out for
Eben. Ulrich Lowe and Quaker Smith.
Yeah.
Those are going to be our loose trio cover.
What was super cool about that interview, and I don't think, you know, other low rugby knowledge people knew that, is that I don't know about this. If you can't train on Monday, you can't play on a Sunday thing. And
I mean, we first found out about that in 2019 Rugby World Cup semis, I think, when Cheslin couldn't train on the Monday, so he missed out.
Yeah, and clearly it's a big rule because Eben said, no, I'm going to make a plan. And, you know, he was fully fit and he was able to come back in. And that's why, you know, but I love that rule and I love that Rassi stands on that rule. If you cannot play on, no matter who you are, if you can't play on a Monday, forget about who you are. That was such a big thing for me. I was like, no matter who you are.
And that's the thing with great teams and great champions. Routine is a really important thing. Yeah. So you know what your game face is on the Monday. So Eben apparently had a bit of a niggle, but he's good enough to play. So off the bench. And also, like, the All Blacks, they didn't know if he was coming or going because Rassi was just talking in riddles.
He was just talking in whatever he was talking about. And then he's coming to Muri off the bench. Can you imagine?
Basically. That's basically the bottom line.
Off the bench coming to give you hell. Oh,
so, I mean, look, as Dirk said in the comments there, our remote rugby analyst, there's a whole bunch of guys with less than 10 test caps in key positions that have been given a key chance.
Yeah.
And again, Rassi's looking at this from a offensive rather than defensive kind of mindset. Initially, you would go, you know what? We can blood these Oaks versus Argentina or give them a chance versus Argentina lesser teams. Yeah. He's taking the biggest game of the year, basically, and saying, that's your proving ground.
And also another thing is that we're horrible against the All Blacks at Ellis Park.
Last 3 out of 4 games, we have lost there, yeah.
Yeah, so I think another thing that we need to just get over.
Sorry, if you take it even further.
It's 2014.
If you take it even further from 2010, there was 2 matches at FNB Stadium. We lost both of those.
Yeah.
And we lost at Loftus. So actually, we won from 6 on the high felt in recent times.
Yeah, so we are due a much-needed dub because we're tired of getting our asses beat at Ellis Park. So that's another thing as well. So it's going to be a big thing just to get over as well.
Yeah, so going to the All Black team, Flex, if we can get that graphic on screen, please. If you are watching us live, firstly, All Blacks team management. When you post something to X, let's get the right aspect ratio here. What is this?
I don't know what's going on here. If this was meant to be in the WhatsApp group, right?
They're just giving one thing out here. There's a difference between Instagram and X aspect ratios. Jeez. I shouldn't have to tell you this.
Basic.
But as we expected, Scott Barrett obviously was going to be back for this one and going to be captain. They've gone with three vice captains, which I think is just...
It's strange.
It's like, guys, we need to play mind games. What are we going to do? Yeah. I don't know. What have we got?
I'm just like, what is going on here?
So for me, I think I'm so happy that David McKenzie's been given the number 10 jersey. I don't think he's going to be great against us because he has to play very deep. I don't think his kicking game is all that amazing. I think Burton Barrett is someone that you can shit your pants against if he's number 10, but then again, he's a good 15.
Yep.
I don't think Mark Talia should be left out. I think he's such an incredible player. And I really found out this week that his dad's from SA.
Really?
So he's half South African, Mark Talia.
Oh, good.
He's been the most impactful wing they've had in quite some time.
Get some of that.
Yeah, otherwise, look, we spoke at length about the fact that we've maybe got some inexperience in our tight five / loose trio, but these Oaks also have that. They don't exactly have the most incredible engine room. We know this as well. Their back line is where their strength is. Yep. They need half decent forwards so they can get their backs a go, and then they've got a bit of a bomb squad. Not really, actually. They don't really have a bomb squad.
No, not a bomb squad.
Dalton Papali'i, he's got a thumb injury, so he's out. And then Sam Kane, this is another interesting kind of inclusion here. After he got red carded in the Rugby World Cup final.
I was like, you bring him back in?
He was going to be being thrown out of the rubbish.
Yeah, I thought they would toss him out.
Well, Scott Robertson has brought him back as one of those mercurial bogeymen, apparently, to take us on physically. Either way, I'm going to stick with my gut feeling here that the Box have got this. We'll get into the bets a little bit later in the show, but what do you feel? Like, we've seen both teams now. What do you feel?
Man, it's once again, it's the All Blacks. It's the biggest rivalry in rugby.
Yes. Can never discredit them.
You can never discredit, be too bullish. Never discredit them, and they know how to beat us at Ellis Park. And any team with Artie Sevier and Jody Barrett is going to be sensational. So, look, and I think Sam Kane's got something to prove. I think they're gonna rally around him, especially after the World Cup. I think the New Zealand team believe that is why they lost the World Cup. So it's gonna be a very interesting game. And
so it's interesting you said because that's our last reference point, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, Sam Kane getting that red card was cuck. I think there were 14 men for 50 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
They also missed two kicks in the second half, and they don't have. Yeah, I mean, that was a one pointer. The games before that were all over the place because obviously we beat them 35-7. They beat us, 35-20 prior to World Cup. So there have been a few big swings, but I'm so damn excited for this. And ultimately, another thing to really appreciate is that this is the pinnacle of the sport of rugby that we love so much.
Yeah,
it's the biggest thing. And I'll go as far as saying it's actually one of the biggest things in all of sport because these Oaks first played each other 104 years ago.
Damn.
This will be the 106th test between these two countries. So we have such an incredible tradition and heritage. There's been so many controversial moments. We've contested Rugby World Cup finals. Yeah. There's been biting of ears. There's been tackling of referees. This rivalry has pretty much had absolutely everything. There was the flower bomb test for Oaks during the apartheid era. You can't script the amount of drama that's got into these two teams playing. And that's what I think is actually one of the biggest rivalries in all of sport.
Yeah, and also it's one of those matches that make players. You know, once you have a breakout game in this rivalry.
Such a good point.
You become such a superstar in the sport. So, you know, we've seen it, you know, Pat Lambie with the kick in 2014. It really boasted it who he would become moving forward.
Until he ran into CJ Stander. Professional sport comes at you fast, literally.
So, you know, these are the games that they live for, and it's a true rivalry game. And, it's going to be super exciting.
Look, I know that obviously when you look at sports in the general scheme of things, the greater populations are in America and maybe Europe.
Yeah.
What are the other sort of major rivalries that you'd think about that you really care about?
I think for me, Super Classico is probably one of the biggest rivalries. That's Boca Juniors River Plate.
Oh, those always go mull, huh?
And it's, you know, it's so polarizing. It's similar to what we have with Chiefs and Pirates locally. You know, they come from the same place in Buenos Aires originally, and then River Plate moved to Nunes. You'll get me, you know, sorry guys, I'm not Spanish. And that...
Thanks for clearing that up.
So that rivalry has become so heated, and you know, during Diego Maradona, post Diego Maradona, this has become one of the biggest fixtures in Argentina. So for me, that's one of the biggest rivalries.
I think any stadium that needs fencing to keep the players away from the spectators, you just know. And riot police are basically your standard. It's pretty huge.
And you know, they're talking about what you're saying is back in 2018, they had a two-legged game. And the second leg had to be moved to Madrid, and it was such a big issue. River Plate won that 2-1. And, you know, the people in Argentina were like, why? And now the rivalry has become more intense now. So really love that one. The second one for me, I'm going to move away from football, is the Lakers and the Celtics. For me, it's one of the most storied rivalries in sport holistically, you know, and coming from the 80s, Magic
that's another key aspect I think about rivalries is like how far back do they go?
Yeah. So even now, I mean, that rivalry sells out arenas. You know, Magic and Bird, how can I forget it?
It's also East Coast, West Coast, right?
East Coast, West Coast. One of the most marketable.
How amazing were the shorts back in the 70s?
Jeez, look at that. Little hot number on Larry Bird there.
Flex has found a fantastic picture. If you like men or white men in tiny shorts, what have we got to for you?
That is that. And, you know, it's been one of the most iconic rivalries. You know, if you're not into American sports, you definitely tie yourself into that. One of the most iconic and most winning franchises in the U.S. You know, they share 34 titles each, you know.
Wow.
34 titles between the two of them. They've got the most Hall of Famers. So it's really, really a beautiful rivalry if you're into American sports. And then for me, the last one, as a childhood South African and me being on the wrong side, apparently, according to my dad, is Chiefs versus Pirates. one of the most iconic rivalries in the world is probably ranked up in the top 10 rivalries in the world. Chiefs and Pirates, Soweto Derby, you know, the origins and the story of that is so amazing. Keza Mtaung being a Pirates legend, going to the States, going to Atlanta Chiefs, coming back, starting up this club, which originally wasn't a proper professional club yet. He got a couple of players from Pirates who were fringe players. Then it became a huge, huge thing in Soweto. And then to grow into, you know, this rivalry that we have now where, you know, we sell out stadiums everywhere we go.
But I mean, because
the most watched.
Because that's not the original Soweto Derby. The original Soweto Derby is Pirates Swallows.
Pirates Swallows. That's not the original one, yeah.
Yeah.
But this one, because you've got a Pirates legend starting their own club. And we actually have, when I did my stats, I think I throw it out so loosely. Chiefs actually have the winning record against Pirates, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Chiefs are called the Glamour Boys and all those things for a reason. They were great.
It's a great marketability, and they still run on that.
But basically like the 90s, the happiest time for you. Oh. Man United and Chiefs were like those.
Early 2000s as well, you know. Right now, we've got the Sundowns dominance, and we just got Chiefs playing dog shit. But for me, those are dog. No, I'm not even going to lie about it. I mean, dog shit.
Worse than Man United.
Worse. At least we were going into some sort of tournament.
Are you?
Chiefs were like ninth. We don't even get into MTN. So for me, that's
10th actually.
So for me, that Chiefs Pirates one of the biggest rivalries in sports, especially locally as well. 90,000 people can go anywhere at any point. Yeah. You know, it's the biggest rivalry in South Africa, I think, and it's the most iconic.
Absolutely. I think if you go, with every football domestic league, there's going to be huge rivalries, right? Another one to look at, even though they're pretty shy as in teams, Glasgow versus Celtics in the Scottish Premier League.
Is it called the Old Firm?
Because, there you got like family members stabbing each other with semi-blunt objects. Like that goes deep.
Yeah, that is.
Like it's primal, that kind of stuff. Inter Milan versus AC Milan.
Oh, yeah.
That's another really good one because Italians are. I mean, the Italians and Argentinians and most South Americans are actually very fiery people.
Yeah.
And that Inter versus AC is a huge thing. Of course, you said the Super Classico is what the...
Plata and Boca Juniors.
Yeah. El Clasico. Madrid, Barcelona.
I can't believe I forgot that out.
It's okay. I'm here as the secondary football analyst here.
Shout out.
But I mean, that's huge. And I think at the time when it was Messi versus Ronaldo, it was an absolute peak.
That was huge. I think that one... was, you know, you have the two superpowers playing one time, the two best players playing at one time, and it used to decide the Ballon d'Or. It was so exciting during that time, and I think you kind of miss that glamour of that the Clasico now with Barcelona going through their financial strife. But it's still a big rivalry.
Yeah, and some of the big icon players moving on, because that's the thing. You made such a good point there. It's like big games make big players,
yeah.
And it's like the El Clasico is still there, but it needs to make new legends now. The rivalry itself will make these new breed of players coming through.
Yeah, let's see now with Yamal versus, you know, Rodrigo, or, you know, all these people coming through.
How could you forget Mbappe is also in the mix there?
Well, Mbappe's just gone to Real Madrid, so he'll be with Jude Bellingham. And then at Barcelona, haven't really...
But it's still the classic.
El Clasico in 15 years' time, when Yamal's in his prime, then it's going to be something. Then it's going to be really something to watch.
Oh, when he passes his matric, let's go.
But also, like, English Premier League, we've got the three major derbies there, right? We've obviously got the Manchester United, Man City.
Right.
And even when Man City were shite, that was still going to be the derby.
Yep.
Come is Liverpool versus Everton.
Liverpool versus Everton's pretty big.
The big Merseyside derby.
Merseyside derby. Their stadiums Arsenal are separated by just a little park between them.
Yeah.
I
kind of feel like, you know, rivalries are great when both teams are really great. Like, Everton haven't really contested anything.
They almost got relegated a couple of seasons.
They almost got relegated. They started badly this season. And, you know, Arsenal and Spurs have been such a great rivalry because they've both been disappointing. They've both been outside of the top four most of the time. Arsenal have come back now. Arsenal had the edge over Spurs, let's be honest, but it's still the big North London thing. But ultimately, I think when it comes back to rivalries is that, take, for example, this weekend, Man United versus Liverpool, it's kind of like Man United were always the traditional legacy team to beat. So therefore, I think a lot of teams would have felt that they had a rivalry with them, even if it wasn't historical.
Yeah, yeah, especially when Alex was involved. I mean, that Man United were at some point the team to beat in European football, in Premier League football. It was quite a thing. And then the Liverpool Man United derby stemmed from the Industrial Revolution, and the factory workers and the dock workers, they would play each other, and that's how that rivalry stemmed between them.
Can you imagine, you just put in a hard shift to the docks or at the factory,
now you gotta
that match is like it.
Wow.
Play without.
Have you noticed this week had come is now progressed to getting a beer on the show?
I can see.
Cheers, guys.
It's like a big graduation moment for you. So getting
celebrating my victory this weekend. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. Wow. He's always going to go too far. So if you get away from, you know, if you get away from, say, football, cricket's got two amazing rivalries. The Ashes, obviously, England versus Australia. We all know the thing about that. England, through their own hubris, which has often come back to bite them in many ways.
Hubris.
Yeah, that's exactly what the English basically were, because they felt they invented everything. They should be best at everything. They were so cuck against Australia that they said, this is the death of cricket. They burnt the stumps. And then they've got the Ashes. And then...
Is that the story? I really thought it was like something deeper than that.
No, that's it. Because they lost to these convicts, Australia, let's be honest. That's not a slur, by the way. That's just history. The English were like, we're going to burn the bales. And basically, that little tiny urn, I've actually got a replica, that little tiny urn is filled with the ashes of the bales.
Oh, hectic.
Nice history lesson. Yeah. And then another big rivalry in cricket is Pakistan versus India, because they just fucking hate each other.
That is the one. Like, if we talk about rivalries, I hate you, you hate me. That is the most electric rivalry in cricket.
And what I love about that is that there are so many expats from those countries. You can go play a T20 match in Mongolia, Buenos Aires, Canada.
It's pumping.
You name it. You'll be able to get 50,000 Indian and Pakistan fans shouting, screaming, and hating each other. Yep. It's like, it's just the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
but it's great. And this is what rivalry should be, right? But just bring the most out of fans.
Do we have a pro-tier rivalry? I mean, I don't watch much cricket.
It's such a good question, Jace, because ultimately, it goes back to the fact that we played England in the 1800s. We played Australia when, obviously, they were like outside of the prison. But... both teams have England or Australia as their rivals. So we don't have like that derby. You know, I don't know. Is our derby now the West Indies? We just took 3-0 from them.
I think the rivalry is still Australia, but who cares about the Proteas?
I think it's one of those things that goes back to what we were saying about Man United back in the glory days. Your rivalry becomes a team that you respect the most and want to beat the most. But no, we don't have a technical derby as a Proteas thing.
I mean, the Springboks.
We're not talking cricket today.
Wait. But Springboks, our rivals are New Zealand or
the All Blacks.
Because I think Ireland's becoming a rivalry now.
Yeah, but I mean, as you cut Brian O'Banner in his tracks about, it's a fresh thing. I mean, basically, Ireland didn't do anything. They were just seen as like rough fighting oaks.
Yeah.
But another rugby rivalry to think about, it goes back to the day of the Westelijke Provincie versus Noord-Transvaal. Hectic. Back in the Currie Cup, when we didn't have international rugby through the isolation of apartheid, obviously, Western Province versus the Blue Bulls,
right.
Northern Transvaal, that's now become the Stormers versus the Bulls. Been a bit washed around by the funny jerseys, but that was the biggest rivalry. Huge. It basically was as close as we got to a test match. Western Province versus Transvaal in cricket was also, that was always the New Year's Day game.
Oh, that's cool.
Back when we didn't have test cricket. Rivalries are amazing. Mm. Last one from me. James, I don't know if you've got any other ones you want to throw into this here.
Some
pretty offside comments about cricket. Just leave those alone. But in golf, obviously, the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
Ryder Cup is so huge. I was lucky enough to go to the Ryder Cup last year in Rome.
Oh, that's amazing.
And to actually understand how big it is. Like, we talk about stadium sports because that's what we know.
Yeah.
When they turn a golf course into a stadium, the vibe, it was... I've been to a Football World Cup in Rio. I've been to the Maracanã, watch a game, and those go mull there. I've been to a test match at Eden Park, New Zealand. I've been to some really cool places. It's not me flexing at all.
That's a big flex.
But the Ryder Cup, the vibe of that first tee, the stadium setting, it is crazy how electric golf can suddenly become when you have a rivalry like that.
Yeah.
It really is quite something.
On a smaller but big-ish scale, and some of the people in the comments have also jumped into it, there's a couple of big... schoolboy rugby rivalries.
Ooh, okay.
I know,
guys, unfortunately we can't have a 4-hour show today, but I agree. Schoolboy rugby is great because it goes back so long and it means everything to that level, right?
For sure.
A lot of those players, they're your sporting pinnacle because you have to get a job or you're not going to play provincial rugby. Mm. And the great thing is that because it's at the schools, it's so community led.
Mm.
So yeah, I mean, we can go all day. I mean, I went to Wynberg Boys High School in Cape Town. Our big rivalry was SACS because they're the two oldest schools in the whole country.
Damn, fun fact.
Cool bases.
Our biggest rivalry was St. John's.
Where did you go to school, James?
St. Stithians.
So you went to one of those co-ed schools?
No, all boys.
I went to a co-ed school. Isn't
St. Stithians co-ed?
It is co-edish.
Co-edish. The girls' school is on the same campus, but we don't have classes.
It's co-edish.
So we don't socialize, if that's the...
Last one I want to mention, and I wasn't meant to. I've got to sneak it in. And it's an individual one, so I'm sorry to say it. It's Ali versus Frazier. That's a huge rivalry for me. I'm not gonna. It's just one of my favorite rivalries of all time in sport. Yeah, that's it. That's me. Sorry, Ben.
Dude, how old are you? Were you alive when these Oaks were fighting?
No, it's just
one of my favorites. These Oaks fought with those black and white TV.
It's still a favorite. Let's move
on. Black and white theme, obviously, over here with Sandile Soprano today.
Sandile Soprano.
Guys, it's the Paralympics, as in last night was the opening ceremony. Kind of muted compared to the other opening ceremony. There were some comments earlier, which I'm not going to repeat again. There's so much happening here today. It's hilarious. There's comments rolling in. We've got other guest members we'll bring in the future episodes. But Paralympics is... So there's like 10,000 athletes that take part in the Olympics.
Yep.
We've got about just over 4,000 in the Paralympics. Yep. There's less sports, but there's more medal events, obviously.
Yep.
So we've got 22 Paralympic sports, of which two are completely unique to the Paralympics. So when you think Paralympics, you get para canoe or para athletics, para archery. So obviously a lot of wheelchair-based kind of stuff. But then you also get this bokia, just basically like playing petanque or bocce. That's unique, just to Paralympic sports. And then you get goalball. I think it's goalball.
Yes, it's goalball.
It's like people lie down, they just hoi.
It's like
it's only for blind people.
It felt like a hybrid of handball and football, or is that bokia? I just like it's so unique to the
I'm glad you asked that with slanty eyes and indecision, because this is what the Paralympics are, right?
Yeah,
it's 2 weeks of discovery in a sporting sense right now, which is hugely exciting.
Yeah.
So there are, like I said, there's 549 medal events that are taking place.
Damn.
I'm going to watch everything like I normally do. There's the same app as we had for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Team South Africa have 32 athletes over there.
Cool.
Mpumelelo Mkhlongo, who was our flag bearer, he's also our standout, say, Akani Simbini, but slightly better medal prospect on the track. how we want to equate it.
No shots at Akani.
No, of course not. I mean, he was our sprint ace. Yeah. So Mpumelelo is going to be our guy. I mean, he is a world champ. He set world records. He's won medals. He's been our most... promising and successful senior professional track sprinter in recent times.
Cool. Amazing.
So he's a guy to watch out for.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what it comes down to with Paralympics, what I find quite interesting as well, is that you're going to see USA, you're going to see China dominating the medals again.
Yeah.
because even now in the Paralympics, more than the actual Olympics, it's a resource game.
Yep.
So who gets the best prosthetics, who gets the best facilities to train in? If you think ordinary sports, and I say ordinary, of course, because it's conventional, yeah. everything that's tough. Para sports, I mean, I've had the pleasure of meeting some para athletes and interviewing them and learning about their world through some interviews that I've done. Yeah. It is crazy how difficult it is for these guys to get where they are. Yeah. And some of the greatest sporting stories in the world right now are going to be in Paris for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Another big thing to talk about right now is the US Open.
Yes.
How do you feel about the US Open? Is it like one of the still big slams for you, or is it a bit forgotten?
It always feels like the one at the end, the one that we just don't really care about, especially coming off, you know, this great Olympic game that we had now with Alcaraz and Novak. It feels like a lot of tennis we've watched or haven't watched. I just feel like tennis has been in my face a lot. But it's still big. Still a big open. Still a big...
So I say that again, not to slight the Americans. Obviously, the time zone's a bit different, so we can't really watch it.
Yeah.
But naturally, we gravitate towards Wimbledon, French Open, because it's got the history, it's got the glamour, it's got the romance of, like, it's a unique surface, right? Because it's grass and it's clay. And now we go back to hard courts in the American Open, US Open.
Yeah.
But it is. It's like all the players are going to be there. It's as important as all the other ones. Everybody wants to win the slams.
Yeah.
But for me, this US Open is particularly interesting because of the following dynamics. Carlos Alcaraz, he lost, let's be honest.
Yeah.
He lost at the Olympics.
Yeah.
He was odds on favorite to win that. Yannick Sinner, world number one,
has been world number one. Dope fiend.
Doping fiend. Someone who was unlucky with substances / tainted
moisturizer.
Supplements, moisturizers.
Why is it always moisturizer, Ben?
It's a bit weird.
We got to deal with the people in the SPFs right now, man.
It's a bit weird, but people are saying if it wasn't for such a big star, they would have been banned.
Yeah.
So there's loads of drama around that. Mm. Then you've got Novak, who's basically like Methuselah of tennis right now. The old Bible age reference.
Okay. I was going to ask what the hell that was. Okay.
He's basically trying to like keep the momentum going for the Olympics and win another Grand Slam. He's already out of sight as the greatest.
Yeah.
So you've got these amazing dynamics on the men's side of things. Like, I'm excited to actually watch this now.
So for me, the thing with the US Open is it was always about which great American athlete was going to come out. You know, we used to have Andy Roddick when he was there, Serena Williams or Venus Williams during that time to dominate. So who is going to be
Taylor Fritz?
I have no idea. I was giving you the ones I know, brother. So the big thing about the US Open is it's really an American thing. Who's going to be the next American athlete to come and showcase? Is Coco going to make a big stance this year? Because she's got to do something post-Olympics meltdown, you know?
Olympic meltdown, Wimbledon disappointments, French Open disappointments. All eyes are on Coco for this one.
Yeah, all eyes are on her to do something crazy. Who comes out in the men's? Is there somebody that we didn't know, we didn't recognize? Are they going to make a big push? That is actually what the US Open is about. It's really about breaking in new American athletes. That's the whole big thing about it. I just don't know where it's going to happen in terms of the men's game. Let's see.
It's such a good point. You know, you're a really good co-host, Sadila
Sifrona. Give me some of that, man.
Because if you think about all sports about facilities, resources, and development.
Yeah.
The Americans have all of that, right? They've got the big IMG Academy, which used to be the Nick Bollettieri Academy.
Yeah.
Stretching on the first name there, Bollettieri, definitely the last name.
I thought that was Mario Bollettieri, but let's go.
You've got all of these amazing talents. You've got people who are basically exiling themselves from Eastern Europe so they can go play tennis and become Americans.
Yep.
But yet America, I mean, Pete Sampras,
Andre Agassi.
Jim Courier, Andre Agassi, Andy Roddick. Since then, crickets.
Crickets. Well, Venus and Serena.
Obviously, Venus and Serena were huge.
Yeah.
You obviously had like...
Coco won.
Coco's been great. Salka won something. There was obviously some great chicks in the 80s. I've totally forgotten about now. Yeah. But the point I'm making is that amongst all these resources and all this population of sporting elites, America's done fuck all in tennis.
Yeah, and that's the big thing for them with this tournament. You know, unlike, you know, Wimbledon and Roland Garros and all of those other ones, is this is their tournament. They really push for their athletes in this one. Let's see who they bring out. Because like I said, I know Andy Roddick because of US Open, you know. So
it begs the question, where are all these talents going? Are they playing baseball, golf? American football, I just think, basketball?
No, I just think tennis is so competitive right now. It's you know, if you're going to drop, get into that into that top five, you know, Novak, we thought it was over after Alcaraz. He came and went into Olympics. There, huh? Yeah, he's still around and saying, I'm still the GOAT.
But, you know, we obviously mentioned, we mentioned like sort of big three around here, Sinner, Novak, and Carlos Alcaraz.
Do we still consider Sinner a big three?
Of course he is.
Post-doping?
Post-doping. Dude, he's got the same.
Giving us Maria Sharapova vibes.
But you've got Zverev. You've got Medvedev, who loves the US Open. He loves antagonizing the crowd.
Yeah.
You've got good players coming through here. We've got the other guy, Casper Rudd. Mm. Anyway, I didn't think we were going to talk that long about tennis, but it's really great.
Yeah.
This weekend, obviously, we got the Formula One again. Another exciting piece of news in the giveaways here.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas this week. Mm. We have got 4 tickets for the Red Bull show run. October the 6th here in Sandton. So if you do live here in Gauteng, we have 4 tickets. We're going to make it 2x double tickets that we are going to give to a listener/watcher of the show. Basically, we want like Formula One super fans. We don't just want you because you think you're going to just take a nice Instagram photo. You're going to be able to like really get up close and personal with the stuff here.
Yeah.
So we're going to come up with a bit of a fun mechanic, but look out for that on our social channels as well. We've got 4 tickets for the Red Bull show run. You're going to be able to see a Red Bull car, David Coulthard. It's a really, really big event. And our friends at Heineken have given us these tickets. It's a really, really cool prize. But this weekend, we've got the Monza race. Mm. So the Monza race is like one of those, what do you call it? Marquee, pinnacle, Formula One circuits.
Traditional. Yeah.
So it's the one where you go off the straight and straight away you go into this little dungus where everyone stops.
Yeah.
Something where I could describe it. It wasn't a racing term, driving into a dungus.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's like a hard chicane. It's like a hard chicane. But Max has won the last 2 years.
Ooh.
Prior to that, though, lottery. Daniel Ricciardo, Pierre Gasly, Charles Leclerc. So it's been a bit of a mixed bag. But right now, again, gut feeling, is anyone beating McLaren's car?
No. And you know what's the crazy part? We called it.
And like, look how easy it was. Look how easy it was for you to say that.
Yeah, no, because Checo don't care about driving no more. Thinking about a play pedal with me next week. I don't know what is going on with Checo Perez. Doesn't care about racing his Red Bull car. But Piastri and Lando have been absolutely sensational, sensational with that car. They're really going to make, you know, constructors very close. If not, take it. But I also think, you know, post, you know, Lando winning it last week, that championship now is going to be a lot closer than we thought it was going to be.
Well, let's get the technical side. Max Verstappen, 295 points currently in the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah.
Lando, 225. 9 races left.
All it takes is for the
difference between first and second is 7 points.
All it takes is for you to crash.
And I mean, you've put the nail on the head here. Red Bull is not winning the Constructors Championship this year. Yeah, they're not
at all.
You've got Piastri versus and Lando against Max. Checo's coming in.
Look, where is Smolignana coming?
Points somewhere else.
No, not even Smolignana. Like, no points. I hate what Checo's doing to my team right now. It looks like McLaren are on the comeback.
Great.
And it looks like they've got strategically the answer. You know, if it's not Piastri, it's Lando. But now they said, Lando, you're the closest to go take Max. Now let's push and let's be aggressive with you. And, you know, Piastri, make sure we get the constructors, which was a Red Bull tactic. But Formula One is back. Guys,
it's so back.
It's the only
way I describe it. It is so back in that we've got that. Yeah. And McLaren could power on here. Mercedes, who knows what's going to happen. Ferrari next year with Lewis, who knows what's going to happen. But it really is. It's so back. But what was interesting, and I think Dirk referenced it in the comments too, is that Lando overtook Max, and then he beat him by like 25 seconds.
Yeah, and he pushed. Because everybody knows. Everybody's like, no, don't worry. Max is just going to put on the nitrous and let's go. It felt like Lando didn't even panic. Didn't even get close. Didn't lose anything. Didn't have to overly defend. Just raced his race and won.
Lando maxed Max. Because that's kind of, I mean, I know, dropping street bombs here. But that's what's happened in the past.
Yeah.
It's great to see when you have almost like a passing of the guard, but the guard's passing from a 23-year-old to like a 21-year-old.
And
don't quote me on that. But
go ahead, James.
Do you guys not think it's something to do with or something going wrong, at least, at Red Bull? Over the last couple of weeks, Merck have also managed to almost catch Red Bull in some of these races.
Yeah,
now McLaren's doing what McLaren's doing.
Look, guys, I think for me, and you know, it's the same thing we had going into the Dutch Grand Prix. Is it's just how good Red Bull have been. I have no issue. I think Max is going to win again, but it's not going to be by like 100 points. It's going to be by 10, 15. It's going to be closer. You know, that's how good Red Bull have been. I think the golfing class is becoming smaller. I think Checo has been terrible. And I think those are the little margins that we're talking about. If Checo were to drive or try to drive, maybe the constructors would have been a little closer. You know, Lando's been driving out of his socks, but he's still behind Max Verstappen. You know, it's just how great Max Verstappen has been. I don't think he's lost a step. I don't think the car's bad. Lando's just driven out of his socks.
I agree. If you are to look at this mathematically and formulate this, because obviously on the show here, we give you every bit of analysis because we are that well prepared. With the gap being 70 points and with there being 9 races left, if Lando wins every race and Max finishes second in every race, he still wins.
Max still wins.
But this is the thing, right? When you've got, as we said, two Oaks from the same team going at it, Piastri's going to be instrumental in maybe shoehorning him, Max into a third place here and there. Max go take some chances, might finish with the podium. I'm just so damn excited. So, yeah, Formula One super fans, we'll get more into this next week. But basically, we have 2x2 tickets for the Red Bull show run. The closest thing we'll have here in South Africa to Formula One experience. And I'm hugely excited about that. Final things again, too, before we get into the weekend's calls. We spoke about rivalries in the show. Honestly, how are you feeling against Man United versus Liverpool this week?
Man United,
Liverpool. This is our first show derby, right? Look, and let's start with you because you're the man in the spotlight right now.
So, you know, you're only as good as the last time you played Liverpool. And I know James has got something to say to me, but you're only as good as the last time you played your rival. James, what happened the last time we played?
You won.
Yeah, 4-3, right?
I'm pretty sure you won. But before that, we beat you like 7 goals.
No, you're only as good as the last time. But I also think what's super interesting is that it's the post-Klopp era.
Yeah.
It's your coach's
again,
first.
Admitted again. Let's just acknowledge the fact.
It's not an era. It's not. I don't want to call it. It's the post-Klopp situation.
You just effortlessly admitted it for the second time now on the show.
Okay, so post-Klopp.
Time.
And it's and it's going to be interesting to see how your coach handles a full Old Trafford. It's away. It's going to be interesting to see how he adjusts. And, you know, Klopp went for it. You know, will he go for it? Will he try to keep it a bit safe? Because we know Man United are going to go for it no matter what. So, yeah, am I worried? Look, we've lost to Brighton. So, let's go for it, guys.
I will give you a minute to retort.
I think trying to speak from the most unbiased place possible, I think Liverpool really do stand a better chance than Man United do at winning this weekend. I think these players have played this derby before, regardless of which manager's been involved. I think a big issue for Liverpool this weekend would be your two new centre-back signings that Man United have. Man United's built a solid defence, which is actually proper for the first time in a couple of seasons.
Where were they in the 95th minute last week?
Jeez.
When they were fucking up my bets.
You know, it's a big call for our coach. If he loses two games in a row, he's probably not going to make it to...
Ten Hag out. Hashtag Ten Hag out. Out, guys.
That's the big difference between this game and...
You've got to say it in Dutch. Ten Hag 8.
No, but with the new generation, 8 means something completely different now. So that kind of means Ten Hag did well. So it doesn't really work. I like Ten Hag out.
All right. Well, look, let's not go into our inadequacies towards the Dutch language. We're going to come back with the big calls for the weekend. It is a huge sporting weekend. Obviously, SA versus the All Blacks. The Springboks versus All Blacks is the big one. But there's quite a lot of football on the go here. And, of course, we've got the US Open tennis. And there's golf because it is the Tour Championships. So let's ready ourselves for the big calls. This weekend, we're going to start with the Rugby Championships. As we know, it's a two-horse race, and I'm glad that the two horses finally get to race. It's SA versus New Zealand, 5 o'clock on the Saturday at Ellis Park. Damn, I'm excited about that. I'm going to the game itself. Argentina versus Australia will be at midnight in, obviously, Argentina. Nothing to really talk about there because we only care about the one game, but Australia haven't got a hope in hell. Curry Cup, that's still on the mix now. But basically, we should just fast forward for the Bulls versus the Lions final. Mm-hmm. These two teams have been the most superior. I won't even go through the fixtures there because, well, we all know where the big rugby eyes are. This weekend, though, we do have MTN back. Well, we had it this week, actually.
Yeah.
Now, this week, Stellenbosch beat Sundowns away at Sundowns. 1-0.
I didn't even watch.
That was a great first leg for Stellenbosch. Considering Stellenbosch lost quite a few key players, some of which have gone to Sundowns.
What is the final score?
1-0.
Doesn't mean anything. They got to go to Pretoria and go get...
No. Is that Pretoria?
Oh.
Stellenbosch away won 1-0.
Oh.
The return leg will be on Sunday at 3 o'clock with Sundowns trying to come back. And then Saturday, we've got 3 o'clock. We've got Pirates versus Cape Town City. Thankfully, the rain cleared up for 90 minutes. That game could take place, even though it was postponed by a day.
Yeah.
But MTN 8, this is it, the semifinals. Pirates versus Cape Town City.
Yeah.
And it's 1-1 currently there, okay? So that's our football. For the Premier League, we've got Arsenal beating Brighton at 1:30, obviously, because it's the season. Oh. Leicester versus Aston Villa at 4, West Ham versus Man City. And then Sunday, what a day of football. Ooh. Chelsea versus Crystal Palace at 2:30. Newcastle versus Spurs, same time. And then Man United versus Liverpool. I cannot wait to be the impartial person on our show WhatsApp group with you two. All right. PGA Tour Championships. Let's just get into this before we get into our picks. But the PGA Tour Championships is the best 30 players from the PGA Tour. It gets whittled down through a whole cumulative points process. And then what happens is the number one player gets the score of minus 10. So that's Scottie Scheffler. The second best player gets the score of minus 8. This is all to start with. I know it sounds a bit weird. So Xander Schauffele will be minus 8. Hideki Matsuyama will be the third best. He's on minus 7. And it goes down in one increments from there. So Keegan Bradley, who won last week, miraculously, he's in fourth at minus 6. And then Ludvig Åberg, spelt Åberg, B minus 5. So that's at East Lake. If you love golf, this is a great tournament. But Sandile, we need to get into the picks.
Let's get it.
This weekend for my super start that again. This weekend for my Super Bets pick, it's going to be quite simple. I'm going rugby championships. I'm going hard rugby championships. New Zealand are going to put up a good fight. They're ultimately not going to beat the Box because, let's be honest, the Box right now are just a generational talent of group of talents, and New Zealanders are still regrouping in key positions. But give the All Blacks a handicap of 9.5, and then for Australia versus Argentina, handicap the other way around, so you're cutting Argentina by 6.5. I think that's pretty fair. You get yourself odds of 1.8, so your 100 gets your hypothetical 280 Rand back. It's a nice bet. It gets you involved for the whole Saturday. And I think it's quite a safe bet as well. So that'd be my pick for the rugby championship.
Sweet. And getting into my picks, I'm going into the Premier League. We went through the fixtures earlier. So we've got Arsenal to win. We've got Aston Villa to win. We've got Man City to win. Newcastle to win. Brentford to win. And then we've got Man United holding down the fort at Old Trafford and beating Liverpool. Man United to win.
This man with two bird hands.
With my picks, my 100 bucks will get you 5,323. Trust me, Daddy.
Sandile, it's important to say hypothetical because
let's be honest, hypothetical 100 bucks.
You've used the word trust far too often.
And I've been right a few times.
Wow. Okay, Hamas. So he's put cock on block here.
That's kind of crazy. Nila, I know you have so many bets going on right now, but I feel like there has to be a wager here somewhere.
Yes,
whoa, let's do it. You're going to do this.
Let's do it.
You haven't even gone into the cold plunge yet for your first bet, and now you're taking on a couple.
You know, go big or go home.
I haven't thought of what the wager should be. I just feel like
I knew it. I was going to give
you. I already had yours. And have nothing.
I already had yours. You're going to come watch 90 minutes of Man United with me.
Hectic. Okay. I'll do that. Okay. Yeah. But if Liverpool win, you have to wear a Liverpool shirt on the show.
Fuck.
The whole show.
Let's go.
And I've got a couple, so I'll even give you a couple of choices.
And he'll even, it'll be clean. He wouldn't have worn it before.
Let's go. Let's do it. That's the wager, guys. We're here.
Okay.
I mean, ultimately, guys, the moral of the story for me is don't make stupid bets. Just go to Superbets rather, because then at least you're in a controlled place. Superbets.co.za, that's where we play. If you are new to it, they will match your sign-up amount up to 5,000 Rand. So with all the stuff that we talk about each and every week, you can be part of the fun as well. They'll match your deposit up to 5,000 Rand. Just use the code OTB. That's on our screens right now. OTB, that's where you get this really amazing sign-up bonus. Anything else for you, Sandile?
Nothing.
You've put yourself to the gauntlet again.
I've put myself to the gauntlet once again, but you know, let's do this.
Okay.
Comments, anything exciting there in the comments?
A couple of things. Go back to the rugby. We can go through a couple real quickly. Dirk says that the forward pack for the New Zealanders will be their downfall. Your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, first up, come is just project a bit more into that microphone. Come on.
Dirk said
be a proud projector. As always, Dirk. I mean, I feel like the Neuralink between my brain and yours with a lot of these things is almost creepy, because I'm about to say something and I see a comment from him.
Yeah.
It's great to have telepathy with your audience, but you're so right. I mean, the fact that they've lost a guy like Dalton Papalia, the fact that he's missed out, the depth is even skinnier on the All Black forward back. And they can do whatever they want for that back line. We all know that rugby is won and lost in the forwards.
Yeah, unless they do something strange and then they don't contest. Do you remember what happened the last time with Australia?
Australia, not a real team. Promise? let's keep it going.
Dirk also says that there's a couple of big rivalries in college football.
Yeah, those are huge. Again, it's like the schoolboy rugby thing all over again.
Yeah. Someone is now your enemy, Ben, because they went to Sacks.
Yeah, Patrick, you can suck it. Sacks are always, they'd be weaker, let's be honest. I mean, Weinberg beat them 9-7 2-3 weeks ago.
Did Ben almost say, you can suck a dick?
No, I did not say that.
That was crazy.
I did not say that. Guys, Weinberg versus Sacks is a big deal, okay? Patrick's a lovely person, I'm sure, but I'm going to come harder off the bat there.
Patrick, you almost got my guy to say, Patrick, suck a dick.
Patrick just watching the show because he likes a bit of sports. That's
crazy.
He's going so hard on him.
We got people showing empathy for the Paralympics, guys. We've got to be proud of them. To do what they do. Right?
Okay, so Michaela said here, please can we give them a huge level of respect, which obviously we did. I can't imagine doing what athletes do. Truly amazing what humans can do when they put their mind to it and passion. But that's just it. I mean, that was my whole thing about the Paralympics is that you might not know about all the classifications, you might not know all the sports, but it is one of those beautiful times every 4 years, every two if you count the Winter Olympics and Winter Paralympics. You get to learn something new.
100%.
Like, I know a lot about sport. You know a lot about sport. People who watch the show know a lot about sport. It's great when you learn something completely off and new. Okay, Sandile is now getting hurt. Guys, we're going to wrap it up there because I think Sandile is taking enough on the chin. He's going to take you more next week when Kamez now thrusts a Liverpool jersey into his face.
Of course,
we're doing this ice bath, huh?
Yeah, we're on. 6 o'clock. What time?
So look, Saturday morning, I've already got everything prepped. I changed the water. It's been filtering.
Yeah.
It's ready. I mean, there's a cold front at the moment and the air is perfect.
I don't have to ask you guys, but please make content out of it. I would love to see it.
That's kind of what I do.
Ben has shot all the angles already.
Dude, he's ready for me. I've got it all sorted.
Love it.
I'm invested.
All right. Thanks for joining us for episode number 12. Share with your friends. Share with your not so friendly people. Obviously, we're going to full strength ahead here. Go Boca, make us proud, box by 9, and I'll be happy with that.
Yes, sir.
Catch you next week.